Do you consider yourself a perfectionist? A lot of people do. Personally, it's never really been something I've struggled with. But if you're like me and you aren't an actual perfectionist all the time, perfectionism still definitely does pop up now and then, definitely as you try to build better habits and work towards your goals. And I mean, that makes sense. There's just some things that you do have to get right, right? Perfectionists get a bad rap, but like, what about the things that you literally will be graded for or that will be evaluated? If you're turning in a report for work or a school project, there literally is a better and a worse. So wouldn't you want to try to make it as perfect or as close to perfect as you possibly could? And if you're nodding your head in agreement right now, then you might be surprised to hear what you can learn from photography. And how's one teacher's experiment with their class at the beginning of the semester changed the way we see effort forever? Welcome to Change Made Easy. Changing your habits, routines, and behaviors is hard. We make it easy. My name is Paul Levitin. I am a board-licensed health and wellness coach, and I have been working with individuals just like you to positively change their habits and routines for over a decade. John Maxwell said, "You'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine." Habits and routines create your life. If you want to change your life, you change your habits, your routines, or your actions. It really is that simple. Now, let's make it easy. On this episode, I'm going to answer the question once and for all. Is it quality or quantity that matters? And you're going to learn what one of the most celebrated photographers of the 20th century taught the world about consistency in building your habits. Jerry Olsman was a surrealist photographer who became famous for a style that he pioneered and popularized, known as the photo montage, during the mid-20th century. The photo montage is a process and the result of making a composite photograph by cutting, gluing, rearranging, and overlapping a bunch of different pictures into a completely new image. And that might seem like something that's obvious now in the cut and paste Photoshop world of 2024. Like, yeah, my little cousin does that. But Olsman was doing it over 50 years ago when you literally had to develop and cut and piece together the photos bit by bit, meticulously by hand. And the photographs he created were amazing. If you have a second, take a moment when you're done listening to this and Google Jerry Olsman photos, and you'll see just why he was so highly regarded as a photographer and as an artist. During his career, he had solo expeditions at the MoMA in New York City multiple times. He won the Guggenheim Award, published over 20 books. He was one of the most collected photographers in the world in his lifetime, received multiple Lifetime Achievement Awards, and his influence can still be seen today, especially with digital media. So what does that have to do with you, with perfection? Well, the world's best photographer meticulously planned out his photos. He literally painstakingly cut each one by hand with an X-Acto knife. He was famous for laboring over a single photo for hours, even days, to get the right composition. So it's hard to see someone like that and think that they would accept anything less than perfection. And that's probably what the incoming class of students thought when they walked into Olsman's photography class at the University of Miami each year. And possibly, normally, they would have been right. But one year, Olsman decided to try something different. On the first day of class, students came in and sat wherever they wanted. And Olsman stood up and drew a line right down the middle of the group, dividing the class in half completely at random. And he explained to the students that everyone to the left of the line would be what he called the quality group. At the end of the semester, the students in that group only needed to submit one photo. Their entire grade for the entire semester would be based on that one photo, so they could take all the time they needed to find the perfect shot. They had all semester, after all. One perfect shot to get an A. But the group to the right, they would be the quantity group. And those students would be graded on, you guessed it, pure quantity. It didn't matter the quality of what they submitted. The more photos they turned in, the better grade they would get. Period. It was pure quantity over quality. And while I'm sure it seemed strange to the students at the time, What they probably didn't realize is that they were actually actively participating in a real-time experiment. And at the end of the semester, the results surprised everyone, even Olsman himself. Because at the end of the semester, he compared the single quality group photos with the quality of the photos that had been submitted over time for the quantity group. Hey, real quick, we'll be back to the show in just a few seconds, but right now I just have to tell you about my free weekly newsletter. If you want to join the thousands of change seekers just like you who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content to help you on your quest for change, then click the link in the notes that says free newsletter right now. You'll get signed up for free tips that will make your change journey easier, sent straight to your inbox every Friday. All you have to do is click free newsletter in whatever app you're listening on. Okay, now back to the show. And what he found was that the overall quality of work submitted was much higher in the quantity group, even though they were not aiming for quality. Basically, by the end of the semester, simply through the virtue of taking more photos, even though they weren't concerned with making them perfect or even trying to make them good, these students got better. Much better. And when the overall quality was compared, even compared to the quote-unquote perfect quality group, it was clear that the quantity group was better and had progressed and learned more through the semester. So what's going on here? Well, there are a few different potential causes and effects that could be at play. First, let's look at the quantity side. They were specifically told it does not matter the quality that you turn in. Yet somehow, their quality improved across the board even more than the quality of the quality group. And that points to the sheer impact and power of consistency. By turning in dozens and then hundreds of photos, they just got better. They just couldn't not get better. They didn't really even have to try. It was purely consistency that literally forced them to become better. It's like going to the gym and picking up a weight. If you do it enough times, your body has to get stronger. That's just how it works. So what about the other side though? The quality group. They were tasked with submitting the best photo. So why couldn't they compete with the quantity group? Well, we don't know for sure, but we can theorize that having the goal of taking and submitting just one perfect picture could have been quite daunting. It's easy to see how hyper-focusing on that one perfect picture could get someone stuck in what they call analysis paralysis. Too much thinking, overthinking. Whereas the quantity group was just full-on YOLO. They're just snapping pictures of whatever, wherever. They're flexing their photography muscle. And even if you aren't thinking about perfectionism holding the quality group back, just sheerly based on probability, one picture versus 100 or more, I mean, as they say, even a blind clock is right twice a day, so the students taking hundreds of photos just gave them more shots on goal. And the more shots you take, the better you get, both figuratively and literally. And I've actually read about this experiment several times. It's talked about a lot in psychology textbooks. The most recent time, I was reading a book called Arete, which I was reading in preparation to interview its author, Brian Johnson, for an episode that'll be coming out in a few weeks. So be on the lookout for that. And this was right around the new year when I was reading the book. And there was a chapter where he discussed this exact experiment. So I decided to see, does this theory really work? Could just doing something over and over be a reasonable strategy for improving without any guidance or any direction? So I started a challenge for myself. I decided to draw a self-portrait of myself every day for a year. And as of recording this, as a 34-year-old man, before starting this challenge, the last time I sat down to draw something was probably when I was in, I don't know, elementary school. Like, I literally don't remember. It's been at least 20 years, probably more. So I wanted to see what would happen. And I have been documenting this entire process on social media. So if you're not following me and you want to check it out, go check out my TikTok or my Instagram. It's just at Paul Levitin. And I literally post a time lapse of me doing a self-portrait every single day for this entire year. And right now I'm about 80 days in as of recording this. And I will say that the progress is pretty remarkable. I mean, I'm still far from an elite artist. I still have no clue what I'm doing. But if you compare day one to today, it's night and day. I mean, day one, you can tell that I haven't drawn since grade school, mostly because the drawing looks like a grade schooler did it. But now I'm almost 3 months in and it looks half decent. And that's without watching any YouTube videos, reading any tutorials, or learning literally anything. It's just sheerly through the virtue of putting in the reps. Similarly, in my 10 years working at a gym in New York City, the people that often quote unquote looked the best, who had the physique that most people would consider elite or whatever you want to call it, those people tended not to be the people who were the best at working out. Sadly, it also wasn't the people that I trained. The people who quote unquote looked the best tended to be the people who were just the most consistent. It was a 40-year-old guy who started training in college and never stopped, so he had 18 years of consistency under his belt. It was the 25-year-old girl who'd been working out since she started playing soccer at 14 in high school, and now she was over a decade in. Even if their workout sucked, even if their form sucked, even if everything they did sucked, the people who showed up 4, 5, 6 times a week for years, they got results. You can't argue with that. So what can you learn from all this? From Olsman's photography class, from my drawing experiment, from the stupid yet sexy gym people at my gym? Well, simply that consistency wins, period. This is why I'm so passionate about making the change you want easy, because making things hard makes it harder to be consistent. If Olsman would have said to the quantity group in his class, you will be graded on the sheer amount of photos you turn in, but also the photos must be of the highest quality to be considered, that would have made the task way different. The students would not have been able to just shoot like they did, and the essence of the experiment would have been lost. And in the same vein, if I said, I'm going to draw a good self-portrait every day for a year, then I would have quit day one. So when I preach making things easy, it's not simply for the sake of making it easy. It's because making it easy leads to getting it done. It leads to you being more likely to do the thing, to do it more, to do it longer. And when you do it more and you do it longer, you get better. Just like the students in Olsman's class, just like the guy at the gym who has no clue what he's doing but somehow still has a six-pack, you put in the reps, you reap the rewards. It really is that simple. And when you flip it and you try to do everything perfectly, or you have to have it all perfectly planned out, or you want to do everything quote-unquote right, then you get perfectionism, analysis paralysis, or at best, you end up still doing the thing, but you waste half of the time that you could have spent actually doing the work on philosophizing over the best way to get it done. One of my mentors, Pat Rigsby, once told me, you only get paid for done. And one of my favorite authors, Seth Godin, says, writers write, runners run. You establish your identity by doing your work. You become the thing by doing the thing. You don't become a photographer by learning photography in a class. You become a photographer by taking a crap ton of photos. That's what Olsman was teaching his class. So what's the thing that you need to be doing? And how can you get one more rep in today? And before you get your pitchforks, I will go ahead and say, yes, obviously you can do both. Obviously the person in the gym who was working out for 10 years and got a great body in spite of knowing nothing about the way they were working out would have gotten better results if they worked out for that amount of time with excellent form and excellent exercise selection. And yeah, if I was doing my drawing every day and I took the time to watch a YouTube tutorial on how to draw every day, I'd probably progress faster in my drawing. But the point here is that even without that, consistency still wins. Consistency always wins. And the best way to be consistent is to make your habits so stupidly easy that you have no friction to do them over and over and over. Like taking as many photos as you can about whatever you want. That is frictionless. So my action step for you today is to think about a place you've been looking for growth or positive change and just simply act. No thinking, no planning, just the smallest, simplest action you can take today. It does not matter what it is. And that's the whole point. What is the tiny action that you can do over and over, like the quantity group in Olsman's class, will get you to turn in the best final project down the road. All right, that's it. No more words, just action. Put in the reps. And believe me when I say I'm doing the same thing. You don't believe me? Come follow my journey as I become an elite artist, one drawing at a time, at Paul Levitin on TikTok and Instagram. Thinking is great, but doing is better. Improving your quality happens automatically when you increase your quantity. And that is change made easy. If you're really passionate about making this change stick, then I just have to remind you about my free weekly newsletter. Don't miss out on joining the thousands of change seekers just like you who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content that will help you on your quest for change. Go to the notes of whatever app you're listening on and click the link that says free newsletter now, and you'll be signed up to get free tips sent straight to your inbox every Friday that will help make your change journey easier. All you have to do is click free newsletter right now. Go to that link, and I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday for new episodes of Change Made Easy.